భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కెంటో 8 చాప్టర్ 16 టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 5 The Pāyavrata process of worship. Api vakushalam kinchit griheshu griha medini dharmasyartasya kamasya yatra yogo hi అయోగినాం అపీవ కుశలం క్వచిత్ గృహేషు గృహమేదినా ధర్మస్యార్థస్య కామస్య యత్ర యోగః హి అయోగినాం అపీవ కుశలం కించిత్ గృహేషు గృహమేదిని ధర్మస్యార్థస్య కామస్య యత్ర యోగో హి అయోగినాం అపి వా కుశలం కించిత్ గృహేషు గృహమేదిని ధర్మస్యార్థస్య కామస్య యత్ర యోగో హి అయోగినాం అపీవ కుశలం క్వచిత్ మేదిని యత్ర యోగో హి అయోగినాం అపీవ కుశలం కించిత్ గృహేషు గృహమేదిని ధర్మస్యార్థస్య కామస్య ధర్మయోగో హి అయోగినాం అపీవ కుశలం కించిత్ గృహేషు గృహమేదిని ధర్మస్యార్థస్య దామస్య యోగో హి అయోగినాం మాతజీస్ అపీవ కుశలం కించిత్ గృహేషు గృహమేదిని ధర్మస్యార్థస్య కామస్య యత్ర యోగో హి అయోగినాం అపీవ కుశలం కించిత్ గృహేషు గృహమేదిని ధర్మస్యస్య కామస్య యత్ర యోగః హి అయోగినాం అపీవ కుశలం కించిత్ గృహేషు గృహమేదిని ధర్మస్యార్థస్య కామస్య యత్ర యోగో హి అయోగినాం అపి ఐ యామ్ వండరింగ్ వా ఈదర్ అకుశలం ఇన్ఆస్పిషియస్నెస్ కించిత్ సమ్ గృహేషు ఎట్ హోమ్ గృహమేదిని O my wife, who are attached to household life. Dharmasya, of the principles of religion. Artasya, of the economic condition. Kamasya, of satisfaction of desires. Yatra, at home. Yoga, the result of meditation. He, indeed, ayoginam, even of those who are not transcendentalists. Translation. O my wife, who are very much attached to household life, if the principles of religion, economic development, and satisfaction of the senses are properly followed in household life, one's activities are as good as those of a transcendentalist. I wonder whether there have been any discrepancies in following these principles. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, Aditi has been addressed by her husband Kasyapa Muni as Griha Maidini, which means one who is satisfied in household life for sense gratification. Generally, those who are in household life pursue sense gratification in the field of activities performed for material results. Such Griha Maidis have only one aim in life, sense gratification. Therefore, it is said, Yan maitunadi griyamedi sukham hi tucham. The householder's life is based on sense gratification, and therefore the happiness derived from it is very meager. Nonetheless, the Vedic process is so comprehensive that even in household life, one can adjust his activities according to the regular principles of dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. One's aim should be to achieve liberation, but because one cannot at once give up sense gratification, in the shastras there are injunctions prescribing how to follow the principles of religion, economic development, and sense gratification. As explained in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.9, dharmasya hi apavargyasya narto ritayo pakalpate. All occupational engagements are certainly meant for ultimate liberation. They should never be performed for material gain. Those who are in household life should not think that religion is meant to improve the process of the householder's sense gratification. Household life is also meant for advancement in spiritual understanding, by which one can ultimately gain liberation from the material clutches. One should remain in household life with the aim of understanding the ultimate goal of life, tattva jignasa. Then household life is as good as the life of a yogi. Kasyapa Muni therefore inquired from his wife whether the principles of religion, economic development, and sense gratification were being properly followed in terms of the shastric injunction. As soon as one deviates from the injunctions of the shastras, the purpose of household life is immediately lost in confusion. Apiva kushalam kinchit kriheshu griha medini dharmasya artasya kamasya yatra yoga yogo hiya yoginam. Oh, my wife, we're very much attached to household life. If the principles of religion, economic development, and satisfaction of the senses are properly followed in household life, one's activities are as good as those of a transcendentalist. I wonder that whether there have been any discrepancies in following these principles. Om agyanam timiryandasya yananjana shalakaya chaksur unmilitam jena tasmai sugurave nama. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto his lotus feet. So herein, an important verse for all of us, because Srila Prabhupada had said that 95% of his disciples would become householders, only a rare few can remain brahmachari throughout their life. There was one class Srila Prabhupada gave here in Los Angeles. He said in 1974, I believe it was, beginning of 74, it doesn't matter, kiba vipra kiba nyasi, sudra kena noi. It doesn't matter whether you're a householder or brahmachari, but ideal, you remain brahmachari. Even in household life, one has to follow the brahmachari rules and regulations. Sense gratification, sex life is only allowed for procreation, and there are so many rules and regulations involved. One has to chant 50 rounds before begetting a child. By the time you're done chanting 50 rounds, hopefully you're finished with sense gratification. In the case when my son was born, somehow his mother had looked up or talked to some of the other ladies in the community. They said, if you want a boy, you chant 50 rounds, the husband chants 50 rounds, he fasts the entire day, no water, no food, and then at 10 o'clock at night, before the act of Garbhadhan Samskara, you feed him a bunch of milk sweets. Sorry for our vegan friends. This was several years ago. Nomi's 25, so this was 26 years ago. So we fasted the entire day. No water. Near Jala. Because we wanted to have a son. We had one daughter already. Nice daughter. Now we wanted a son. Somewhere, I'm not exactly sure, I never read it in Prabhupada's books, but fasting all day, and then right before the holy act, after chanting 50 rounds each, 100 rounds, the man eats a bunch of burfi, laddu, rubri, sandesh. And people wonder why Nomi's a little passionate. Whatever one is thinking at the time of conception, just like whatever one is thinking at the time of death, one attains. What you're thinking at the time of conception goes into the offspring. Therefore, one has to think of Krishna in his pastimes, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is a act called Garbhadhan Samskara is not sense gratification. After chanting so many rounds, fasting all day near Jal, taking so many milk sweets, let me tell you, it's no longer sense gratification. But the household life is usually taken for economic development, sense gratification, liberation, sensual activities. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said in our Krishna consciousness movement that is a brahmachari grihastha. There's brahmachari, brahmachari grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. Four stages of life. Not that one becomes, Prabhupada used to say, bachelor daddy. He was viewing Western culture and he noticed that basically it's made up of bachelor daddies. That there are children and there's no father in the family. Or that one simply engages in sense gratification and doesn't care for the offspring. The Vedic culture is completely different. Dharmasya hi apavargyasya narto ritayo pakalpate. Here, Srila Prabhupada points out, in the purport from Srimad Bhagavatam, dharmasya hi apavargyasya. Krishna consciousness, devotional life, means apavarga. Pavarga is made up of five syllables. Pa, fa, ba, bha, and ma. Srila Prabhupada explains. I'm not quoting something not from Prabhupada. Pavarga, Srila Prabhupada explains. Pa, the syllable pa, stands for parisram, which means that one works hard like an animal. Just like so many people, they're going to work at 7:30 in the morning, working hard all day at a job that they don't like. They can't stand going to work. They have to go day in, day out, year in, year out, working hard like an animal to support the family. It's described that even an animal, a donkey, an ass, works very hard. There's grass on the right side of the road. There's grass on the left side of the road. But he's thinking, he's a beast of burden. He's thinking, unless I serve my master, I won't get any grass. I won't be able to support myself and my family. Srila Prabhupada has said, money is everywhere. You just have to learn the science of grabbing it. That doesn't mean stealing. It's how to utilize the material nature in Krishna's service. So parisram means work hard like a dog, like an animal, like an ass. And fa says, stands for faineal, or foaming at the mouth. When a racehorse is running in a race, I actually wouldn't know because I never went to a racetrack, but for those of you who used to go or do go to racetracks, the horse is running in a race and it's foaming at the mouth. It's running so hard that there's foam coming from the mouth. So humans are working, living entities are working so hard for this sense gratification that they're foaming at the mouth. Then the syllable ba stands for biartita. Simply frustration. Even if I get the goal of my sense gratification, I'm frustrated because it only lasts a short period of time. I may get some money, but it's never enough money. I have 100,000, I need 250,000. I have 250,000, 500,000 would be much better. If 500,000, I got to get $1,000,000. It's never enough in the material world. So biartita, simply frustrated. And the syllable bha, pafa, bha, bha, stands for bhaya, that one is always fearful. I've given the example before that when I was growing up in the suburbs of Chicago, we had at the front door and the back door a peephole. Is a little hole in the door. You look through, you know what it is? And it magnifies for the outside so you can see. So there's no danger of letting in a thief or a murderer. Somehow or other, somebody told me something once, and I was always scared because I heard the story that somebody looked in their peephole and the person on the other side shot through the people and knocked their eyeball out. I don't know if it was true or not, but it became a tale so that every time someone would ring the doorbell or knock on the door, I wouldn't even go all the way up to the people. I'd look at an angle and try to see, let's see, who's that? Because of fear. First you make a sign, beware of dog, and make the peephole in your door, and you're still fearful. The dog is barking, oh my God, who's coming to get me? Who's going to steal my possessions? So, materialistic life means I'm full of fear. Something may happen, I'll get into an accident, or someone will take my wealth or riches because they're haters. So, bhaya. And ultimately, one is afraid, fearful, pa fa ba ba ma, of mrityu, of death. Srila Prabhupada tells the story that one man, he was big politician. He wanted to accomplish a little bit more. He asked his doctor, can you just give me 4 more years so I could finish my lifelong plan and accomplish everything? But this isn't possible. Because whenever is your time to breathe your last breath, that's going to take place. No doctor can stop inevitable death or prolong the life. That's up to Krishna. I asked one nurse one time, if someone is on this process of dialysis and they only have a catheter that's called a temporary cath, how long can you live? Because some doctor said you only can live for 6 months to 2 years because it's very temporary. You can't live for a long period of time. But this nurse, she was from Korea, and she was very Krishna conscious. She said to me, no one knows. Doctor doesn't know. Nurse doesn't know. No one knows, only God knows. And I thought that is actually a really good answer. That was the best medical answer I ever got. Only God knows how long something can go on. So, pavarga, dharmasya hi apavargasya. Real spirituality, real religiosity is apavarga. Freed from pa fa ba ba ma, from this struggle for existence, survival of the fittest. Because it is engaging in devotional life, in spiritual life, which is unending, ever blissful, and continues forever. And even if one gives up this body, the soul is engaged in devotional service. We are training this body in this life, but we are also training the soul that at the time of death and beyond, that we engage in devotional service. Srila Prabhupada came. There's one little story. In 1976, we were in Srila Prabhupada's quarters. There was maybe 20 devotees, and one devotee was giving out these sweets that were donated from one Indian gentleman. So Srila Prabhupada turned to him and said, why are you not giving out the sweets? He was holding on to them. And the devotee said, well, there's so many devotees in the room, small room, Srila Prabhupada. I was waiting for them to leave, the new group to come in and them to leave, And as they'd leave, I'd give them the sweet. And Prabhupada said, leave. And he looked over the room and said, they will never leave. And everyone chanted in unison, Jai Srila Prabhupada. So this is the benediction of the spiritual master. He's not giving blessing, what do they call that? Asurba. I think the translators in the old days, they couldn't understand what Prabhupada was saying. We had a lecture here, and it said that the spiritual master doesn't give acid bath. We all looked up, what's an acid bath? And Drudha Karma had to explain, I think it was after the lecture, that actually the word is A-C-E-R-B-A, Asurba. Is that how you pronounce it? That's what I said. Thank you very much. That it means gives blessing. The spiritual master doesn't give mundane blessing. Don't go to the spiritual master for some sense gratification. Can you cure this disease? Can you help me? Give me your blessing. That was never the tone when Srila Prabhupada was on the planet. And he said, we don't go to Vaishnavas for blessing in that way. The blessing is to be engaged in devotional service. In 1976, maybe some of you heard this, is a story that's well known. Naikatma Prabhu was there, New Vrindavan, 76. I think also Bhrigupati Prabhu was there. And Srila Prabhupada was getting very strong on the devotees to learn his books. Prabhupada had actually said that the devotees should learn the Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, like a lawyer knows the law books. One should understand and be able to quote the books like a lawyer knows the law books. One of our God brothers, he asked a question of Srila Prabhupada. It was during the days when Prabhupada was answering the questions to the Bhavan Journal in summer of 1976, up at some householders' houses in New Vrindavan. We were there as Radha Damodar Party. I was traveling at the time with Bhrigupati Prabhu, 1976. And it was amazing, you'll be happy to know. I don't think he's here. But you hear Bhrigupati? You remember you were going with incense. We were in a little town in West Virginia called Bluefield, wasn't it? These people in Bluefield, forgive me if you're from Bluefield and listening on the internet, but they couldn't even come to the platform of Hicks. They were so far out in the countryside of West Virginia, it was frightening. Bhrigupati was walking up to every car, so sincere, because we were going to see Prabhupada the next day. And he was giving them one stick of incense and a book. And they'd go, what's this? And he'd say, this is bug chaser. It really keeps them away. It was middle of summer, wasn't that your line? We started calling him Bhagapati because he was no longer Bhrigupati, he was Bhagapati. He did so many books. Where he came up with this stuff, no one knew. I started using the same line, but I wasn't as sincere. It really keeps them away. the bugs, that is. I would start laughing every time. But he was very serious and sincere and distributed hundreds of books with the Bhagavad Gita line. Isn't it? The next day we went to New Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada was there. Prabhupada, the night before, one devotee, our godbrother, had asked a question. Sometimes the Christians say that they see God. And Prabhupada said, so what is the verse? And he looked at the sannyasis in the front. And everyone started looking through the book, what verse is Prabhupada talking about? Because Prabhupada would wait till you found the verse. And as everyone was looking for the verse, Srila Prabhupada gave the answer himself. Tesam satati yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them the understanding by which they come to me. And the devotee said, Prabhupada looked at the devotee and said, very serious, why didn't you know that verse? And the devotee made a humongous mistake. He said, I knew that verse, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada looked at him and said, no, you can fool them, meaning the Hare Krishnas, but you can't fool me. I know. And everyone was very quiet. Huh? No, it was the same night before. It was the night before. Janardan. Yeah. No, not you. Janardan. It wasn't Brigapati. That was a prelude to the story. He's clean. But that day when we came and the lecture was going on, I remember, I think I went up to Brigapati and Naikatma, because Prabhupada was talking that when a snake is killed, or a scorpion is killed, even a sadhu becomes satisfied. And devotees were running up to each other after class. Did you hear when Prabhupada said that? He was looking at me. When a snake is, didn't we come up with that conclusion? I came running up to Brigapati. Did you see? Prabhupada was looking at me when he said, did you see that? And I think Brigu and Nikama, they said, no, I thought Prabhupada was looking at me. Everyone thought when a snake and a scorpion are killed, a saintly person is satisfied. Everyone felt guilty that I'm fallen. So Prabhupada gave the lecture. Bhavan Journal ultimately became Civilization and Transcendence. That book is those lectures that were given in New Vrindavan in 1976. Very beautiful little paperback book, Civilization and Transcendence, you should read. And Prabhupada said, Prahlad Maharaj, we had just gotten 7th canto of Bhagavatam. Nobody read it. It was just, Prabhupada just finished 7th canto. And Prabhupada said, what is that verse that Prahlad Maharaj said? Look it up. So the sannyasis are looking and they're like, oh my God, we can't find this. You remember Naikatma? Everyone was scrambling. I was hiding behind Brigapati and Naikatma. Because I heard that if you don't know the verses, Prabhupada gets upset. And Prabhupada said, where is that verse? So he asked, give me the book. Huh? Okay, Dristadumna, somebody. Give me the book. After devotees were scrambling, where's the verse? What's the verse? Did you see the verse? You know, anybody find the verse? What's Prabhupada talking about? In those days, 7th canto just came out. Nobody knew the verse. Prabhupada quoted it many times, but they didn't know. None of the even sannyasis who were getting expert knew the verse. They handed Srila Prabhupada the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto. There was no page marked, isn't it? Naikatma, you were there. Prabhupada opened the book and handed it to one devotee. And it was right there. Naivod vijay paraduratya vaitaranyas maya sukaya param uduhato vimudan. And the devotee read it. And everyone was sitting there, isn't it? Shocked. That not only Prabhupada knows the verse, he can open the book at will and produce the verse for everyone to see. Wasn't it, Prigapati? I'm glad you two guys are still part of Hare Krishna so that people can see this is a true story. And Prabhupada leaned back and shook his head. Acha. And all the devotees, Jai Srila Prabhupada. Isn't it? It was very amazing, and we realized then we had to learn Srila Prabhupada's books so seriously and study the verses in the Bhagavatam and know it just like a lawyer in the court, Prabhupada had said. He can quote such and such case from such and such date where this was the verdict. So the devotee gives the verdict of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and that the Bhagavatam Gita Chaitanya Charitamrita is flowing in his consciousness, in her consciousness. So, in this way, we're reading Apavargyasya, how to keep the consciousness free from material consciousness, from sense gratification, from desire in the material world. Kasyapa was approaching his wife, that is something wrong in the execution of your household duties? Are you making some mistake? Are you following the regulative principles of freedom? And this is our business. We keep our consciousness filled with Srimad Bhagavatam Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada's pastimes, Prabhupada's instructions, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's instructions. And then there's no question of sense gratification. Even one begets children, that is not ordinary. Those are not ordinary children. At least formerly, we used to call them 50 round babies, isn't it? Naikatma's baby had huge eyes and bright as a sunshine. And people would say, oh, she's a 50 round baby. That's why. So brilliant and bright. So it is not the same. Even though it appears we're also having household life, we're also having offspring, we're also driving cars, we're also using computers, even though some people say that they may be causing the waves, what they call the microwaves, are giving us cancer. We're also using cell phones. Devotees are on Facebook. Devotees are on the picture one. What's it called? Instagram. I don't go on that, but you might go. But they're not doing it for sense gratification. They're doing it for Krishna. We said last week, Prabhupada had said, we shall adopt all the means of the materialistic persons only for the purpose of Krishna. And this is Krishna consciousness. That we may engage in seemingly material life, but it's for the pleasure of our spiritual master and Krishna. we fill our consciousness with the Vedic literatures, with Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and we fill our day with hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, and praying. All glories to Sri Guru and Gaurango. Storm? You gotta get a devotional name, man. I can't remember. I told that before, but Prabhupada tells it several times. That's heavy. I got a hole in my stomach.
But it was true that Prabhupada opened it up.